Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. This is a stretch. This is a stretch, Locker, on the tie-in to this song, to Britton Gray coming in.
They could be related. How do you know it's a stretch?
Because they spell their names completely differently. Glenn Frey, Zach Frey, not related, as we'll get a rider update in mere moments. But Locker,
what?
Chapel Roan news, and it doesn't have anything. I mean, you're not going to hear Pink Pony Club, I promise.
Okay.
Unless Brett plays it all of a sudden and he brings in Pink. Of course, she's the artist with Pink Pony Club.
Yes.
The Oilers played that song.
Well, and
after
she's
wins.
Got an affinity for Saskatchewan for some reason.
Well, that song, The Subway, is the single, is about to be released. So she set out a teaser, and The Subway is on a Saskatchewan license plate on a moving truck that drive. And then you see the Land of Living Skies Saskatchewan song. And
is this on
her social media account.
Okay.
So, like, that is. And she's talked about wanting to play a show in Saskatchewan. Mosaic Stadium is deeply in need of more outdoor concerts. So a little bit of a teaser from Chapel Roan today.
Don't let me forget to add that to our Green Zone Saskatchewan road trip playlist.
I think we put it on there already.
No, we didn't, because it's not on
Spotify. Oh, the single's not out yet.
Yes.
That's
right. Remember, we went looking for it because all the tunes on it are bands or artists from Saskatchewan or songs referencing something to do with Saskatchewan. Like there's the Warren Zevon song about the hockey player from Big Beaver. Remember that?
Yes.
So that's on there just as an example of an artist that doesn't necessarily have to be from Saskatchewan. So
there's a lot of Saskatchewan imagery in that music video from one of the biggest artists today in Chapel Roan. That story was brought to my attention from Britton Gray.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
Britton Gray knows so much stuff.
Man of many talents.
You know so much stuff. Let's cool it on the talents part of things. But Britton,
welcome.
Glad to be here, Locker.
What? Well, I gave him a compliment.
Oh.
He knows so much stuff. What's wrong with that?
Knows how to build a guy up, doesn't he, Locker?
What is that called? I think that's called a backhanded compliment.
That's a compliment. He knows a lot of stuff. I don't see what the problem is here. He's the one who
kind of cut the legs out from underneath him.
He's the one who oversold it with the many talents thing, all right? I've just got to keep things honest around here.
Got to believe in yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you, Britton. Right there. That's my guy. High five.
Oh, that wasn't a very good high five, guys.
We're not redoing it.
We should work on that. But let's get to the green and white, because there is some news that we were not anticipating today at all. The injury report comes out. Zach Frey, head injury, out. I watched practice yesterday. He was very much the left guard throughout the entire walkthrough yesterday. Something happened here, because if it was a head injury that he was going through things, they would have had somebody else at left guard for the Rough Riders yesterday. They didn't. So what's going on?
Now, I've never had a concussion. I'm not a concussion expert. I don't know if delayed symptoms are a thing. I wonder if he exerted himself.
They can.
And he wasn't feeling well or got a headache after practice, and that's where they maybe see how he's doing. It happened again. Like I said, this is speculation. We don't know what happened. All we know is it was a close practice. The injury report comes out, limited and out. And that is yet another offensive line injury this team will have to overcome.
What do you do? You asked me this question. I don't know. What are they going to do?
Well, there's two options. You bring Noah Zaire up to be the guard, and you bring on either Dre Dorian or Braden Knoll. Keep that kind of ratio the same. You can flip the ratio a little bit. Nick Jones is here. He did get a start or two last year before he dealt with some injuries. but he's there, which means you bring in another American, but then you're bringing off Canadians, bring another Canadian on somewhere. Boy, the roster juggling this team has had to do this year with that ratio has been something.
I have a question about, because today was the close practice. Yesterday they had to practice indoors because of the smoke issues. Do players like practicing inside? I don't know.
No. It's different. Like the kickers can't even kick, right?
Yeah.
They would much rather.
Different. Yeah. The turf's not.
Everything's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's condensed more. It's a soccer field.
Are you able to practice like full practice as well indoors?
Is this
a detriment to the preparation for the game on Friday? That was kind of where I wanted to go with it.
I think a little bit. I think there's a bit of a detriment if you're forced inside multiple days. You can handle one day. Now, yesterday was also different. So that team did a walkthrough yesterday. That's why they were able to start outside at least, because they couldn't run a full practice outside because of the air quality. So they changed it to a walkthrough. That's why they were out there, even though the air quality was above an 8. It decreased, and that forced them inside to continue their walkthrough. So look at it already. Not only have they been forced inside, they had to go to a walkthrough on day one of practice. This was their only full day of practice this week because it's a walkthrough again tomorrow. So there's some concerns now about this week. Game.
Yeah. Oh, that leads us into the next question. Who
are
you picking?
Are you picking the Elks? Are you going to pick the Elks? Because I'll tell you, the 7-year-old was listening yesterday. You did not make friends in the Nye household by hinting that you might pick the Edmonton Elks on Friday.
I really want to pick the Edmonton Elks in this game, especially if they start Cody Fajardo, because it's one of those games that it just feels like the Edmonton might come in, especially with the injuries now, the smoke going inside. However, this is a Riders team I have in the Grey Cup, and in order to be a Grey Cup team, you handle business against teams you're supposed to handle business against. The Elks are one of those teams, so I'm picking the Riders to win this week despite everything going on.
The desperate teams, you have to
coming off a bye week in which, from all reports, it wasn't just quarterback the Edmonton Elks were challenging with jobs. Like, there were practice roster guys getting good, decent first-team reps.
Well, that's interesting.
To push other veterans. And they're playing for jobs in Edmonton. They were here last year playing for jobs. And what happened, Britton?
They ran all over the Riders. I think 240, 250 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
Not great. But what are they prepping for? Like, how are they, because we don't know who's playing quarterback, how are they prepping? How are they getting ready for Fajardo or Trey Ford?
Well, it will depend. We'll have to wait and see, of course. Mm-hmm. They're similar but different. I think as players have told us, focus on yourself. Do your job and the results are going to come to you. You can't focus too much on Trey Ford or Cody Fajardo, because then you're wasting time. You're wasting reps if you end up practicing for a single guy and he ends up not being who's starting. So I think it's business as usual, and then it's up to the players. They'll kind of have to adjust based on who is out there. With Trey Ford, we know how dynamic he is at running, and it's up to the players to make those adjustments and figure out how to stop a mobile quarterback.
And it was interesting, Corey Mace was asked about, especially trying to stop a guy with the speed of Trey Ford, which they did have trouble with last season.
Players have to adjust how they do things. The scheme has to adjust sometimes depending on certain players. There's a bunch of different ways to skin it. But ultimately, speaking to Trey, whether it was playing against our defense or watching them against others, there's some really good plans, and sometimes his legs are faster than plans, right? So, you want to look to see that you have a proper plan of attack, and when the ball snapped, you just at that point you just hope we execute and he doesn't outrun it. Yeah,
that's the thing. Sometimes Trey's legs are faster than your plan. Like, we're going to have a spy on him, and we're going to put him here. Oh, Trey just ran right by that guy because he's faster.
He also runs himself into trouble.
Yes, he does.
So if you can keep him off balance, I think you got a similar game plan. And again, I am no expert in this, but just based on, you know, limited knowledge, I think you're going to have a similar plan to if you got Cody in, you're going to want to keep him off balance because he hasn't been playing for a while. So I think it would be very similar, the defense.
It's outside contain on him. That's what you need with Trey Ford. He cannot get outside you. You have to force him back into your help, which is coming from the inside. The minute you overcommit and he can run around you, it's over. The race is done. He wins. So whoever's assigned to him has to keep himself between Trey Ford and the sideline and bring him back to help.
And I think he thinks a little too much back there. And
he's Britton, you watch it too. You can tell when Trey Ford, it's not boom, 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 I know what the next read is here. It's sometimes it's a lot making it up on the fly.
Yeah, it's here's my read. It's not there. Start running around. And someone will get open. That has helped him, and it's helped him be dynamic. It's also hindered him, and this is part of the conversation about making that quarterback change, because as much as he took steps forward, he took three or four steps back in that game against the BC Lions, which is not what you wanted to see from the young quarterback.
Confidence Index poll running now at Jamie Nye is where you can find it. Britton Gray, Grey Cup appearance, division final, division semifinal, missed the playoffs. What are you voting?
I have them in the Grey Cup still. As we kind of talked off air yesterday, something about Calgary, I just think eventually they will take a step back. They've caught teams a little bit off guard, I think, as they get more tape on some of these younger guys who have played really well for Calgary. You start to learn how to stop them, then they have to adjust. So I think there might be a bit of a drop off there, but all the credit to the Stamps, way better than I thought they would be at this point.
Injury report was released yesterday, and Mitch Pickton and Aaron Patrick were listed as load management. This is a new thing.
I'm pretty sure they've just changed how they say healthy scratch so that players aren't being healthy scratched. It's just some load management. That's all I can get from that.
Why would they do that? Did anyone say why?
No.
Okay. Who knows?
All of a sudden, it's
league-wide. Is it a league?
Oh, it's league league-wide. Thing.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to see healthy scratch like last week. Now it's everybody's gone to load management. So something changed in the last for that wording over the last couple of weeks, apparently. Don't know why that is.
It just sounds better, doesn't it? It's load management.
No, you hate haven't the been term
scratched.
Load management.
You haven't been scratched. Just some load management.
No, I hate the term load management.
I don't like it either.
Load management means like he's a veteran and just needs a rest. Like, no, he's healthy and he's being scratched.
Load management won the Raptors an NBA championship.
This isn't basketball. That's the point I wanted to make. Thank you for bringing that up.
Britton Gray, our Green Zone Rider reporter, of course, has you covered at CJME.com and CKOM.com. We'll see what that depth chart looks like. By the way, send your questions to Britton or I. We're recording the Blitz podcast tonight, Locker.
The Blitz podcast is Canada's fastest growing CFL podcast. Get it where you get your fine podcasts.
Especially on YouTube.
Especially on YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube.
Better on Spotify.
Face for television. Britton Gray, Jamie and I here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. They're always complaining. Tanyan Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Coming up, Joe Robustelli is going to join us on the Green Zone, the young Rough Rider who's got a heck of a storyline, grandfather in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and left football for...
Giants?
New York Giants.
Okay.
And left football, didn't play tackle, goes to a camp with the Riders. They say, you don't have much experience. Played 1 year of university, came back to that camp, Riders sign him. And now he's hauling in passes from Trevor Harris.
It'll be interesting to get his take on flag football and where it's at and where it's going as well, right?
Yes, he was made his way up into the
tryouts
of the U.S. national flag football team. So we'll have Joe Robustelli coming up in the 4 o'clock hour to talk Riders here on the Green Zone.
Sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah. Get a good feeling, yeah. Oh, some
I'm Jamie Nye. He's Locker. This is the Green Zone on a Wednesday afternoon. Still to come, Joe Robustelli of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders will get you set for the Riders and the Edmonton Elks on Friday. The records are the complete opposite. 1-5 Elks against the 5-1 home team, Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So we'll get a preview on that. But of course, all the teams are now in training camp. Today was the final two teams to report for camp as we continue our NFL preview series and a look at the Jacksonville Jaguars through the eyes of Mark Long from the Associated Press. Mark, thanks for your time this afternoon.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm curious, first question, has the new coach, Liam Cohen, lived down his Duval from his opening news conference? Have people given up on that yet or no?
Given up locally. He has not. People have not given up nationally, but I have heard through the grapevine that he is over it. He is way past it. He doesn't want to hear about it. He doesn't want to relive it. He'd been there, done that, moved on, and he does not want that to be his defining moment. But for honestly, until they win a game, that's what it is right now.
Yeah, it's never good when your opening news conference goes viral gets memed like that did for Liam Cohen, the new coach, of course, of Jacksonville.
Mark, let's start with the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. Is he going to be ready?
Huh. He says he's ready. He says he's as healthy as he's been in a while. But again, it's all talk. Can he stay healthy? He has not the last two seasons. He missed a career-high 7 games last year. The last 5 following a concussion on an illegal hit, and then he had shoulder injury that hampered him a lot of half the season and ended up having shoulder surgery. So he's saying all the right things, but until we see him, and he's throwing the ball well, but until we see him get through games without getting dinged up, without getting hit, without getting knocked to the ground, some of those things that have just plagued him over the last few years, that's when, you know, everybody will be a believer. I mean, nobody's given up on Trevor Lawrence, but certainly a lot of people are questioning whether or not he's actually the generational quarterback the Jags thought they were getting when they took him with the, you know, first overall pick in 2021.
He's great hair.
He's got sensational hair.
Got good looks.
But
you know what? The funny thing is, there's a point. I mean, this guy's almost, what is he, 26 years old? He's now a father. There are people out there, though, who are like, he needs to cut his hair. Like, it hasn't worked. You're 4 years in. You're going to year 5. You've got teenager hair, right? It's baseball boy hair. It's like, at this point,
I want just move teenager on. Hair.
We all do. And I do, too. But there is a segment of the population, certainly in Jacksonville, certainly Jags fans, who would like to see him try something different.
Oh, see, this is
hasn't worked.
This is Johnny Unitas versus a Joe Namath all of a sudden.
At least it's not frosted tips.
Yeah, at least it's not frosted tips like Joe Burrow last year. That's true. But
good point.
I don't know. Can we give the kid a break? Like Urban Meyer, Daryl Bevel, Doug Peterson, now another new system to learn. This hasn't been an easy ride for Trevor Lawrence to start his career despite being the first overall pick of the 2021 draft.
No doubt about it, and that is part of the reason maybe why he gets a little bit of a pass. But it's a short leash at this point because, yes, he hasn't had the best road. Urban Meyer tried to screw him up by making Daryl Bevel wanting to run him all the time. That's your first year, and then all of a sudden you get Doug Peterson who forces his offensive coordinator press Taylor down his throat for 3 years. You know, he switches quarterbacks coaches midway through there. So it hasn't, there's been no continuity from offense to offense. There's been, you know, and I'm not sure he's gotten good coaching period. I'm not sure Doug Peterson is a good offensive coach. So from that standpoint, I'm not sure Liam Cohen is either. So from all of that standpoint, we're going to, you know, it's, I guess the book is still to be written on Trevor Lawrence. But he's running out of time because at some point, this is a new coaching staff, a new general manager. They're not going to give this guy 5 years like the old staff would have, you know, the regime that drafted him. New regime trying to put their stamp on this thing. The leash is all of a sudden getting real short on Trevor Lawrence. Not to say he's, you know, in danger this year. But I do think if it doesn't work out this year for Trevor, or he misses a lot of time, then all of a sudden I think this regime will be going into 2026 at least talking about what are we going to do at quarterback. Is Trevor the guy, and for how long, and at what point do we replace him?
It's interesting, Mark, and I think I know where this is going to go, but they've thrown a bomb into this team, and they're replacing everybody on the coaching, like general manager. You just sort of rattle it all off. Where are the fans at? Like, are the fans must be losing their minds?
Well, they didn't show up. You would think today, first day of camp, new GM, new head coach. You got Travis Hunter, who was one of the shiny pennies, right, in the NFL draft. You would have thought that, you know, they might pack it today for the opening. It not so. It was early. It was an 8:15 on the field at 8:15. So it was pretty early on a weekday. So not ideal, but it was not a good showing. I would say, you know, if even half, did they have, I don't know if they had 1,000 people show up today. So not good, and rightfully so. The fan base should be frustrated with this franchise. Let's put it this way. They were going to keep the general manager. I mean, that's where we're at with Shad Khan, the owner. He was going to keep Trent Baalke, even though anybody who had access to the owner told him it wasn't working with Trent Baalke. He was still going to keep Trent Baalke and let him hire another coach. And then it wasn't until he realized that he wasn't going to get Liam Cohen, let alone Ben Johnson. And then he's sitting there going, okay, now I have to do something to the GM to be able to get one of these two coaches I want.
As we get a preview from Jacksonville, Mark Long here on the Green Zone with the first overall pick, still fighting his way through, and Trevor Lawrence too. As you said, the big shiny coin in training camps across the net. This isn't only a Jacksonville story. This is an NFL story. It was insane to watch Travis Hunter at Colorado play both sides of the ball and play every snap and win the Heisman. And then he goes to the National Football League. And we ask you the big question, Mark. How much will we see Travis play both sides of the ball now that he's gone to the National Football League?
Well, a lot. I don't know if it's going to be 100 snaps like, you know, some people have projected. I think that's unrealistic. But I would not be surprised if it's 80 snaps a game. And again, can he hold up? But he's kind of slightly built. He's got pretty skinny legs, not a really huge upper body. So, you know, you just look at him and you go, can he hold up? Can he withstand the rigors of NFL competition? They think so. They think this kid is special. He's going to play offense primarily. And then on defense, he's going to be a nickel cornerback where he comes in on passing downs and they move some things around. And he's going to be an outside guy on third down, passing down situations. But that's where the plan is for now. Whether that increases or decreases remains to be seen. I think a lot of that will be on him in terms of what can he handle and what does he show? How quickly can he pick it all up? I just know there are questions. There are questions locally. There are questions nationally. In terms of you pick this guy second overall, you expect him to be at least a Pro Bowler on one side of the football. That's what when you're picking in the top five, that's your expectation. This guy's going to be a Pro Bowl player. Not, you know, you're not picking guys thinking they're going to be Hall of Fame, but you're picking guys thinking he's going to be a Pro Bowl player for the next 10 years, right? Or generally close in the mix for Pro Bowl. Well, if they're not playing him fully on offense or fully on defense, can he reach his potential on either side of the ball? That is the concern around the league where you talk to other people. It's like, okay, well, they're sharing offense, they're sharing data. It's hard enough to get really good in this league being committed to one side of the ball. Now, this guy's going to spread his time over both sides of the ball. And there's just not that many hours. The collective bargain agreement limits how many hours you can spend in the classroom and on the field. So they're already a little bit in a bind in terms of trying to get him to reach his max based on the rules that are in place.
So do you think the priority is going to be wide receiver for Travis? Okay.
I do, and I think it has to be. This regime has made an emphasis that everything they do has to be to make Trevor Lawrence better. So they need help at receiver. They cut tight end Evan Ingram last year, who's kind of a wide receiver, and then they traded Christian Kirk. They dumped Gabe Davis just a few months ago. So all of a sudden, they've got huge holes on that side of the ball. Brian Thomas Jr. made the Pro Bowl as a rookie last year. They signed Dyami Brown, one-year deal. So they really are counting on Travis Hunter to come in and start and play a ton of snaps right away on offense. And I do think defense is the side of the ball that they're just going to be a little slower to work him in on.
So finally, what do you think of the Jacksonville Jaguars this season? Well, where do you put them, or is this another ugly season in Jacksonville?
Settle in.
Excuse me. I think 4-13 last year. That is, they had better talent than that. They have better talent than that. There's a lot of dysfunction, right? And sometimes when you get rid of the dysfunction, you can immediately show big time signs of progress if the talent's there. I think the talent's there. I think this team, a little bit of a sleeper, maybe even a dark horse in the AFC South. And I would not be surprised if this team is around that 8 or 9 win total and really start to turn a corner here by getting rid of the dysfunction. And when I say dysfunction, I'm talking about significant dysfunction. Think about this. Not only were their offensive coaches not talking to other offensive coaches last year, but week 2, the Jags lose at home 18-13 to the Cleveland Browns. Doug Peterson comes in the locker room, throws his hat down, says, "This is not what I signed up for," and tells the offense they need to apologize to the defense for the performance they put out there in the field. That's week 2 of an NFL season. That's the kind of dysfunction that we had in Jacksonville that these guys went through or dealt with in Jacksonville last year, all behind the scenes. I think when you flush that, you got a chance to get really good really quickly. We saw it in 2022, Doug Peterson's first year, coming off the dysfunction of Urban Meyer. They flipped the script pretty quickly, won the division, made the playoffs, and won a game in the playoffs.
Well, with the difficulty mark that the Jacksonville Jaguars had last year, it's nice to see that the NFL gave you a really nice start in the schedule.
Yeah, it's a brutal schedule. It does get better in the back half, but yeah, they got to be able to survive through the bye week when you're looking at, you know, and Carolina's you hope to be able to win that thing, but at Cincinnati, at San Francisco, Kansas City, Seattle, LA, all playoff contenders. Yeah, it is a brutal first 7 games for the Jags.
And by the way, I'm just curious, are you now a travel advisor for London, England? Do you know your way around London pretty well now?
I do, and so do the Jags, and they should. And yeah, that's not going away. I will say this. This is the first year we thought for sure they're going to keep 2 games in London moving forward. They backed back down to 1 game in London this season.
Probably because of the Ireland game, right? Maybe.
Maybe, but yeah. But I think that's really more like where they want to go. This new staff, they understand, and they've convinced the owner that, hey, it's a competitive disadvantage to be over there, put your team over there, to bring your team back, try to play games back over here with them getting back accustomed to the time change. So, do you want to win or do you want to make money? You may not be able to do both in that current setup. So you got to make a choice. If you want to win games, you want to have that game in Jacksonville. If you want to make money, sure, go have it at Wembley Stadium and sell 90,000 tickets and make a ton of money. But I don't know that you can have both every single year.
Well, Mark, appreciate the chat. It was great having you on. Thanks for your
awesome,
time.
Mark. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, guys.
That is Mark Long, Associated Press, with the Jacksonville Jaguars as their season and training camp get started, with a lot of questions around the first overall pick from 2021, Trevor Lawrence, and the second overall pick, Travis Hunter. I can't wait to watch this guy play on Sundays to see if he's and how much he plays on both sides of the ball, receiver and defensive back, because he was entertaining on Saturdays with Colorado.
I bet you that he doesn't do it very long, if at all. That's my prediction. I bet you they throw him into one side and that's it. Stick with it.
Until he picks somebody off on defense and then they go, okay, never mind. Let's just roll out our best player on both sides of the ball.
Maybe you're right. I don't know.
We will see. Still to come on the Green Zone, Joe Robustelli of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and of course a double take on Double D, Darrell Davis. He's grading the Roughriders this week. We'll get his grades at 5:05 on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker, okay. We got this text from Cashton saying, never been a long-haired quarterback in the National Football League to win a Super Bowl. I know this came up on McAfee with Trevor Lawrence saying that. Are you going to cut your hair? Never, maybe the first quarterback. I take exception to that. Joe Namath, now he didn't have long locks, but for that era, like, he was the hippie Joe Namath, right? Same with Kenny Stabler of the Raiders. I can't say that no quarterback with
that was Beatles long, though.
But it's not.
Trevor is, like, that's long, long, long hair.
I've seen longer, but it's what, shoulder length for him? Sometimes it's a little bit longer than that. I don't think the hair matters. I really don't. Don't think the hair matters on if you win the Super Bowl or not, to be quite honest. Do you think it matters, Locker?
I don't think it does, but I am always surprised by what people think has an impact on teams' abilities to win or lose.